Returning to the show right now, attorney Barry Knott, who is the receiver for Success Village, again, the housing co-op between Bridgeport and Stratford, housing over 2,000 people. There's over 900 units there, and attorney Barry Knott earlier this fall was appointed to this position by a judge to handle the financial issues as well as the issues of no heat and hot water at the complex. And so, attorney Knott, welcome back to the show. What is the very latest with getting the heat and hot water under control at Success Village?
Yes, good morning, Melissa. It's a moving story because of the age of the complex. We got the heat and hot water operational for the most part as of December 1st. However, because of the age of the complex, there are numerous steam leaks that have popped up throughout the facility. Specifically, right now, there are steam leaks in the crawl spaces under buildings 27, 35, 57, 61, 63, 64, 65, 67, and 68. Now, there are 97 buildings over there, so we're talking about steam leaks in maybe less than 10%, underneath less than 10% of the buildings. However, there's an additional steam leak, a large steam leak, underneath the temporary boiler that we had brought in to provide hot water to the facility about a month ago. And that boiler needs to be, a temporary boiler, which is out near the old boiler room, needs to be disconnected in order to get at that steam leak. We can't disconnect that temporary boiler number one until temporary boiler number two is operational. Temporary boiler number two has now passed inspections from state and local boiler inspectors, and it is being hooked up today. So as of today, temporary boiler number two will take over for number one. Number one will be disconnected, moved out of the way so that the steam leak currently under number one can be fixed.
That's a lot of moving parts, Attorney Knott, as you just said. And for people who may not be familiar with Success Village, as you mentioned, it's a sprawling 95 building complex. So to be able to get consistent hot water and heat was no easy task, to say the least. We have heard from some residents, I would imagine, are in some of the buildings you just mentioned. I don't know for sure, but I would take an educated guess and say that. Some who did not have consistent heat dating back to around the Thanksgiving time, and they've had to use space heaters in their homes. Do we know if the buildings that are impacted right now, is there a foreseeable date or time frame when those steam leaks will be handled and they can, you know, go back to relying on the heat from their units versus needing to provide their own heat from space heaters?
Well, it's going to be the leaks get fixed very quickly. It's not a complex problem to fix these steam leaks. We got to get to them. We've got to oftentimes dig them up, find them, and then repair them. It's not a complicated procedure. The problem is, as we fix one, another one pops up. These steam pipes are 80 plus years old, and you know, the joints connecting one pipe to another have deteriorated over the years, and it's a problem that is manifest with these various steam leaks that we're seeing all the time. You fix one, another one pops up. Right now, one of the problems with getting heat to the farmost located units is that the amount of pressure that's generated from the two old boilers that are providing heat to the facility is inadequate to push the heat all the way out to the far reaches of the complex, thereby resulting in inadequate heat for some units. That is complicated by the fact that there are steam leaks under these various buildings that I mentioned earlier. As one problem becomes identified, it's fixed fairly quickly. The problem is they keep popping up all the time, and I think that's going to continue to happen until we have a permanent solution to the heat and hot water problem over there, which is not it's not in the immediate future.
Right. Attorney Knott, I can't remember the exact number you had said, but I think the first time I had you on this show when you were first appointed the receiver, you had said it was going to cost tens of millions of dollars to be able to have an adequate heating and hot water system, boilers essentially, for every building at the complex. That was just not even something in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, ideally, we'd like to have one boiler at each building. Providing heat to the individual building. Right now, we've got four or five boilers servicing all 97 buildings located in one building, not necessarily close to the units which they're servicing, which is not the most efficient way to heat 924 units. So that's how they did it in 1941, but that's not the way to do it now. We're looking at $10, $20, $30 million to rehab a modern heating solution over there, which funds are not available now. And, one of the things that we're going to be doing as we resolve this immediate problem is to find out what, if any, long-term solutions are available for this facility. The problem is it's a private facility. The unit owners own the complex. It's not a government facility. So the amount of funding that's available is different than would be in a typical housing project owned by the federal or state.
We have Attorney Barry Knott here, who is the receiver for Success Village, a housing complex between Bridgeport and Stratford, housing more than 2,000 people. There are over 900 units making up this sprawling complex. Recently in the news this week, Barry, we learned that you submitted a $125,000 bill for your first 2 months on the job as the receiver. Talk to us a little bit about where that figure came from.
Well, I keep track of the amount of time I spend on a given file. In this case, I kept track of the time that I spent on the Success Village receivership file. It represented virtually all of my time for the first 2 months of my appointment, because there was so much going on in so many directions. Everything was an emergency. People were coming at me from all directions. So it was literally all my time. So I kept track of my time. I'm required under the receivership order to provide the court with a report of my doings every 60 days. So attached to that report was a copy of the bill for the first 2 months, or first 7 weeks, let's say, of work that I had done on the receivership, which came to the number that you mentioned.
So who pays for that? So when these bills come through, do the Success Village residents, does that come out of their common charges?
Yes, it does.
Okay, yeah. Got it. Do you feel like it's a little higher? Do you feel like that's comes with the job of what you've been tasked to do? I mean, we've talked about it many times. This was a mess. It is a mess.
It still is a mess. It's still a mess. The number, it is what it is. What can I tell you?
It sounds like you still have an uphill battle.
Are you asking me to comment on my bill?
With all due respect, kind of. I guess what I'm asking is, I read, I believe it was in the Connecticut Post at the beginning of the week, that you did concede the bill is large, but you acknowledge that it does cover the work that needed to get done. But you did acknowledge that it was a hefty price tag.
Well, that's true. Yeah, the work needed to be done, and I did it. Now, the bill is not going to be that large going forward. The problem in the first 2 months of my appointment was that all of the decisions that needed to be made regarding the Success Village receivership required discretion on the part of the receiver. So that as among all of the people who work in my firm, I was really the only one that could exercise that discretion. My law partner and my legal assistants didn't have authority to make decisions, substantive decisions regarding Success Village. I, as a receiver, did. So most of the work that was done in the first 2 months of my receivership was done by me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, things have calmed down since then. I mean, the phones were ringing off the hook. I was getting emails nonstop all day, every day in the beginning. Complaints were being filed on me as agent, you know, as the person who should get sued. Claimants were coming out of the woodwork. So all of that stuff had to be dealt with by me. Going forward, that's not going to be the case. So the bills are going to be substantially less going forward than they are for the first 2 months of my service. So nobody should expect to see $125,000 bills from me going forward.
Well, and I always say on this show, Attorney Knott, what you have accomplished in 2 months is way more than, you know, dare I say, what was even, you know, attempted at, if you want to call it that, by the former administration for over 2 years. And this has been, I know, an ongoing issue well before the past president took, you know, his position. But to me, I think what has been accomplished in 2 months, and I've heard it directly from dozens and dozens of residents at Success Village, was substantially a huge change in putting them first and their needs first compared to what was done in the 2 years that they were under different leadership, let's just say. So I don't think it's not justified, you know, having to have a bill that also recognizes the work that you've been tasked with. It's nothing that I think people are jumping up and down to say, hey, you know what, I'd love to take over Attorney Barry Knott's job. I think it's a challenging task, and even those who have been critical of, hey, I'm not getting the heat on, or it's not consistent hot water, they've admitted, you know, this is better than what it was. So certainly we've been hearing that even from residents. I am curious, last question for you, Attorney Knott, for those who maybe don't have heat, or I haven't really heard about the hot water being an issue, but for heat, especially now that we are in the winter months and we're seeing winter weather, it is bitterly cold out there. What do you suggest they do if they have a lapse of heat for hours, let alone days on end? What do you suggest they do?
Anybody that has a lapse of heat and has a health problem as a result of the heat situation over there should call the health department in the town in which their property is located. Some are in Stratford, some are in Bridgeport. And the local health department will provide a hotel room for persons who fall into that category. Now, from what I understand, the heat comes and goes. So that one person is not going to be without heat for a lengthy period of time, because we're shutting down some of the zones as we go into the facility to fix these leaks. We have to shut down whatever zone is servicing that particular area. So some people are going to be without heat from 8 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon as that zone is shut down. But they will get the heat back later on in the day. So everybody's circumstance is going to be different. But the local health department is the agency to contact.
That's good to know. So instead of calling on the mark, you should just go right to the health department for either Bridgeport or Stratford or wherever your complex lands, wherever your housing unit lands.
No, on the mark's not the correct person to call.
Okay.
If it's a health emergency, they call the health department, which will make arrangements for the resident.
Okay. No, that's good to know, because I do know some residents were calling on the mark and saying they weren't getting an answer, and so maybe they're not calling the right people. Go to the health department.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Attorney Barry Knott, I want to thank you so much. I know how busy you are, but taking time out of your schedule to always keep me in the loop and talk to us here on WICC, we really appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll be in touch again soon.
My pleasure, Melissa. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Again, Attorney Barry Knott, receiver for Success Village right here on WICC.